we are going to be singing Christmas songs here this morning. The next couple songs we have, there's some carols, there's some old songs, there's some new songs, but they all have the same theme. And the theme is Jesus Christ, this baby that was born, you know, some 2,000 years ago, and what he has done for the world, what he's done for us, and the joy that that brings. So this group, I think there's supposed to be 30 of us. There's probably only 28 up there now because two are missing this morning. But it was brought together to sing about this good news to maybe sometimes during this Christmas season, you can get distracted by all the other things that are going on and gifts and family gatherings and all this stuff. But Conrad is up here. A couple of these people got a group together and they said part of the vision is to take our minds off of some of the distractions and put it back on the real focus of Christmas. And along with that, then we can hopefully support Daniel and Amber with some of what they're doing. And I think he's going to be sharing about that at intermission. Yes? All right, so I'll let him talk about that. So we pray that you will be worshiping with us this morning, that you will be focusing on the good news and on Jesus Christ as we sing this morning.
Should a king come?
If a lost child knows the answer, of course, in a coach of gold with a pure white horse.
In a beautiful city in the prime of the day, and the trumpets should cry and the crowds make way.
And the flags fly high in the morning sun, and the people all cheer for the sovereign one.
And everyone knows that's the way that it's done.
Should a king come?
Even a commoner understands he should come for his treasures and his houses and lands.
He should dine upon summer strawberries and milk, and sleep upon bedclothes of satin and silk.
And high on a hill his castle should glow,
with the lights of the city like jewels below.
And everyone knows that's the way that it's done. A king should come. How should a king come? On a star-filled night into Bethlehem rode a weary woman and a worried man, and the only sound in the cobblestone street was the shuffle and the ring of the donkey's feet. And the king lay hid in a virgin's womb, and there were no crowds to see him come. At last in a barn, in a manger of hay, he came, and God incarnate lay. And the angels cried, glory, to God. Earth was silent, so heaven rang. Glory, glory to God. Men were dumb, so the angels sang. Glory, glory to God. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Glory, glory to God. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Glory.
This morning, so many of the songs that we've been singing, I just keep realizing again and again how many times we're saying glory or praise or something like that. And I'm just getting chills up here just thinking about how glorious it must have been, just like the earth that was so full of this glory of God that was finally just here among us, among men. And so it was just thinking, you know, can we again, maybe this Christmas time, somehow just bring that glory to earth again, just have this the earth around us just ringing with praise and glory to God. So let's just let each of our lives do that this season.
Few of the songs this morning have been speaking about like how should something happen or expectation. I think a lot of times for me, holidays have a lot of expectation, and that also leaves room for the expectations not to be met. And I just think this season we can take the time to ponder how, what are we expecting? How are we expecting God to enter our season, our holiday season? Is it in the silence? Is it in the praise? And this song is just speaking of Mary pondering, did she know what was expected and what was going to happen?
your baby boy would one day walk on water.
Mary,
did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you come to?
Morning, everyone. So some of you guys know me, and some of you don't, and that's okay. I'm Daniel Miller. My wife Amber is back there. She was singing with all the sopranos. So we have good news to tell, and I don't know, sometimes I think we don't act like we have good news, and we're kind of ashamed of our good news. And I think that was a challenge to me this morning, listening to that song, that like, we should really be singing that we have good news, people. Like, this is the best news on earth, ever. And sometimes we seem to be like, well, I don't want to intrude my good news on your life, kind of thing. Anyway, that was just my little thought I had up front. So as some of you guys know, and as some of you don't, Amber and I have felt God's call to take the good news outside of Lancaster. About 6 months ago, it kind of happened. We felt a call to work among Muslim refugees in Athens, Greece. And I had a presentation here at one point, and so some of you were here and some of you weren't. So that's been a crazy last 6 months, to say the least. A lot of things happening. We're doing quite a bit of preparation, training, I don't know what you would call it. And one of those things that we did was a trip to Greece. Neither of us had ever been to Greece. Neither of us have ever really worked with Muslims. Neither of us have ever worked with refugees. So God calls into it, but we didn't really know what we were getting into. So we thought it would be a good idea to go to Greece and meet with different missionaries or ministries and talk to people who are in the States, who live there, who are from the States, who live there, how they got their visas and all that stuff, and also spend time with refugees, just hearing their hearts and their stories and getting to know them as people, not pictures and videos and whatever. So this is kind of a little update. We've enjoyed singing with this choir. I mean, practicing with this choir, I should say. This is our first program, so you're welcome. When they said they were getting it together, they asked if they could do it as a way of helping support us. So this evening we're going to be singing at Pleasant Valley, and we'll be taking a free will offering to help pay for some of our preparation and other expenses that happen to come with moving countries. I'll give a little more update about where we're at. So we, try to remember when I talked, but we've done a few things since. This, which I'll talk about in a second, but we also did Core 1, which I can recommend highly. If you like finding stuff about yourself that you'd rather not find out about. So if you don't like growing, don't take Core 1. Or if you don't like crying either. So that's been really good. We only did our first of three weekends, and it's been, a learning experience. God's really been showing stuff in our lives that I'm glad he showed us before we got into missions. But then once he shows you something, then you have to work on it, and then the fun part comes. So, anyway, we did the Core 1, and we also did a Greece vision trip. So we spent about 2 weeks in Greece. And so I have a few slides just to give you an idea of what we were accomplishing. So that is us, obviously. And that is right in the neighborhood where we'd plan on living. It's called Victoria Square. It's in Athens, and it's where most refugees end up. Here's some more pictures of that. That's the square itself. And so you'll see some people down there. A lot of refugees just hang out there at night. There's usually a dozen or so people just sleeping there because they have no other place to go. It's not a high-class neighborhood by anyone's stretch of anyone's imagination. I lived in the city for half my life, and I never really seen that kind of a city. A lot of graffiti, which I think is cool, but not everyone does. This is on top of their roof, and just kind of the view of the city, and kind of history combined in the history in the background. I forget what that building is, but it's like on mountains. They have like old ruins. What's the name of this place? I think it starts with a P. It's where the Greeks used to hang out and chat, like the old Greeks. Does anyone give me the name of this thing up top there? Anyone have the name of it? It's totally slipped my mind. Yes, thank you. Parthenon, whatever you call that. So we went and toured that, or not toured it, we went up close to it. This picture is interesting in that the combination of ancient history, and on the right side you see the graffiti painted wall. And it's like an interesting clash of cultures almost. This is the view of Athens, which is, Lord willing, someday we'll live. And this is Mars Hill. This is Mars Hill. So this is where Paul spoke all those years ago. That was kind of a cool experience being up there. And just thinking back of how many people have sat here, how many debates have gone on, like way back in history. Like just push a rewind button and think of all that this hill has seen. Old stuff, which I'm a history buff. I took history in university, and so this stuff is cooler to me than to some people. So I'll show pictures, but you don't have to actually enjoy it. So we spent about 3 or 4 days in Athens in the first part of our trip, and then those are goats, so anyone's wondering. I thought I just thought that in for fun. We went to a market in Athens. We did a bunch of touring the first couple days, and we hung out a lot with Jan and Hannah, who are going to be teammates in the future. They're living in Athens right now. There's a ton of cats there. I better watch my time, because you know how I do with time, right? Last time I went like 20 minutes over or something. This is Mytilene. It's mentioned in Acts, I forget where. Paul stopped here in one of his journeys. And this is the island of Lesbos, where all the refugees kind of come first. The Camp Moria is in there. And so we came to work with a small Greek NGO. This is a little town we lived in for the 8 days we were there. I'm going to just speed up my talking a little bit. This is the place where we helped out. It was a non-Christian organization, and basically they do... What they do is they serve them a meal, bring refugees in, two groups a day, about 60 to 100 people, and they just love them. Like, they just talk with them. It's just basically our job is to talk with them and play games with them, play music. They have music classes there. And it's a gorgeous place, very relaxing. It's a way to people get away from camp and just to be human again, because it's very dehumanizing in the camp. We also ate little fishes. We did spend a day in Turkey and drank Turkish coffee and a lot of Turkish tea. We did some good Mennonite work ethic stuff, cleaning up their warehouses, which were a mess, to say the very, very least. You can ask Amber more about that. That was her project. Let's just say mice were heavily involved. This is the crew. Out of those guys, other than the one guy and the second guy in, all of them had really no idea what the gospel was. And these are all volunteers. These aren't refugees. And so that was a huge blessing. Going into it, we didn't realize that, but going into it, mostly, a lot of them are from, do I have a pointer in here? Yeah, like Scotland, New Zealand, Holland, but they had never really heard the gospel. And they never met people who were actually followed God, kind of thing. And so we had some really good conversations with them just about what the gospel was. Like, they were fascinated by this idea that people, like, serve a God. And it's just that they had never really, like, their countries are so secularized, they'd never really heard much about it. So that was a really cool opportunity. So after spending 8 days in Lesbos, we came back to Athens for a few days and looked at some parliament buildings and some poofy shoes. You see those? I want some. They have really cool architecture. So this is like, there's a classy part of Athens, and then there's most of it's not as classy. And then this is what we've been doing a lot of reading. Amber and I'm going down to 4 days of working a week, and Amber's gone down to three, just trying to keep up with all the things we have to get done. We have, I don't know how many hours of research and schooling we have to do a week. We're calculating, it's like 5 hours of studying this book, and then 7 chapters a week, and then plus I'm doing a university class at the same time. So we have a lot of stuff we're trying to accomplish while working. So we can appreciate prayer with that, as it feels pretty overwhelming at times. That is our prayer card that will be coming out probably next week. We didn't get quite enough printed for this morning. If you really, really want one this morning, like you're visiting, talk to me and I'll see if I can get you one. But it'll hopefully be in your mailboxes soon for people who are here. I'm probably way over time, so I should probably close up. We really appreciate you guys' prayers and support. We do not have an end date of when we're leaving. Some paperwork stuff has to figure out. Hopefully, Lord willing, sometime in 2019. We'll be around for the next months. We'll be gone for 6 weeks in New York in the spring for long-term training. If you have any more questions for me, or there's some stories with this trip, there was pickpockets involved and other stuff, that you can ask me on when I don't have a time limit. So, thanks, guys.
Have been sitting for a while, but how about we stand and sing, "O Come All You Faithful," together. Number 94, this is a Christian hymnal.
O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come. Oh, God.
Hey, so, is this thing on? Great. This next song we get to sing is called Ring Christmas Bells. Or do we ring Christmas bells? And I had to think of walking out of Walmart and you see Santa Claus or somebody representing the Salvation Army or something like that. And they're ringing Christmas bells. And it can almost sound a little monotonous. Oh, that's just what they do this time of the year. But I got a question for you. For you and you and me and everyone here who've accepted Jesus, who've made him Lord of our lives, how are we ringing our Christmas bells? We just sang, "For unto us a child is born." Wow! He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he's living inside of us. Let's ring our Christmas bells like we're living with that in mind. Merry Christmas.
Rising of the sun and the running of the moon. It has really been good to worship with you. So some of your purposes for coming was to worship and to tell his story. And I feel like we've heard that this morning. I want to challenge each one of you. Your voice is an instrument to spread his love, to spread his peace this Christmas season. So thank you for sharing. Could I borrow your voices in another form for just might take 3 or 4 minutes. We've been going through the ancient prophecies of the Christmas story. And as a congregation, we want to read that corporately. If you would help us with your voices, that would be awesome. So congregation, can you stand and read the prophecies that this morning? So I will start it, and you all help me read it corporately. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are ruler among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old and from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. So again, thank you for sharing with us. There's a verse, that last verse said, who's going to tell? And I heard that ringing the bell thing. That's what he's talking about. Who's going to tell if we don't? So thank you for sharing. We're going to close with a word of prayer. And after a benediction song, you are more than welcome, anyone that is here, to join us in the fellowship hall for a potluck dinner.